So we left off last week trying to put some of the final touches on this Gezeir Rabbanan of Achal Basar L'Yachal Gvina. We said that Chazal extended the Isur of Basar Cholav to a very, very so strong degree, and they made Gezeiris, probably would have qualified as Gezeiris L'Gezeiris in other areas of Halacha, and yet they just kept on going on. Rambam comments that the reason why Chazal was so machmir Basar Cholav is because it's so misleading in the Tarshish Mitzav. One would have thought that the only time Basar Cholav is also, it's Mamashek Adi, B'Cholav Imo, that goat with its mother's milk. So because people are so confused by the reading of Tarshish Mitzav, so Chazal made mochum, zemochum, zemochum. So one of the big chumers that Chazal instituted was Achal Basar L'Yachal Gvina. Nevertheless, the Gemara does say that Achal Gvina, Yachal Cholav, that's for sure, Achal Gvina, Yachal Basar. If you have cheese, so then you're permitted to have meat. But somehow these dinim of waiting don't really apply. So there was a big machlekes of Rishonim what that means. So many of the Rishonim took the Gemara Kipshuto, that Achal Gvina, Yachal Basar L'Gamri, you just had a slice of pizza, and then 2 seconds later you could have a hot dog, Belishum Sofim, no hesitations, no waiting period whatsoever. And the Rambam disagreed. The Rambam said that Achal Gvina, that you're allowed to eat Basar, that means if you cleaned out your mouth. You don't, in contrast to the other way around, where you have to wait for the Rambam Sheet to 6 hours, so when it comes to going from milchiks to fleishiks, you don't have to wait that long, but the mice do have to clean out your mouth. So there are two different opinions in the Rishonim as to just how to interpret that phrase of the Gemara, that going from cheese to meat is permissible. Then we said at the end of the show last week that the Maharam Rutenberg had his own personal chumrah, but the Maharam Rutenberg one time found some cheese stuck in his teeth a few hours later, and he felt very bad that he was eating his, I don't know if he was having a hot dog or not, but he was whatever. I'm not sure whether they sold the right to the barbecue with the rabbi in Rutenberg, but whatever it was, Maharam Rutenberg was eating his piece of meat, and he had eaten cheese a little bit before that, and he felt bad that he had some cheese stuck in his mouth, and therefore he was mekabel upon himself a personal chumrah to wait, not to go from the cheese to meat, even though, again, being at the Gemara, it seems that that would be permissible. So then we mentioned at the end of the show last week, there were two different opinions in the Acharonim. What should we do, therefore? So we're not the Maharam Rutenberg. So what should our approach be? So the Marshal said our approach should be what it says in the Gemara. We shouldn't be more machmir, it says the Gemara. The Marshal says you're not allowed to be more machmir than what it says in the Gemara. And the Binnig Yisroel became not that way. We have accepted upon, at least Ashkenazi communities have accepted upon, that practice in the Maharam and Rutenberg also has it's become almost like standardized halacha today, with the following little bit of a qualification. Maharam writes that the only time that this minig exists for us is only when it's very hard kind of cheese. If it's a harder kind of a cheese, so we assume that either there's more of a question of time, or maybe there's more of a question of stuck between the teeth, whatever the different reasons for that distinction are. But the Maisa, the Ramok, will discuss them when it comes to certain kinds of cheeses that one should wait. So whatever one stands of waiting are, if you're a 6 hour person, you wait 6 hours from these hard cheeses to meet. If you're a 3 hour person, you're a 1 hour person, whatever you think the dinner is by Basar L'Gvina, so that's what our practice has become. And this has become pretty much the Ashkenazi practice over the last couple hundred years, that there are certain cheeses that are considered to be the hard cheeses, the waiting cheeses. How do you determine what the hard cheeses are? That's already a loaded question. So there are certain standard characteristics that are used for some of the hard cheeses. Some folks can have other possibilities, a way of measuring what's considered to be hard cheeses b'zman hazeh. So the bottom line is when people ask me this question, so I refer them to the OU website. The OU has a list of all the cheeses that they are concerned with. As their policy, yeah. I'm not saying everyone agrees with everything with the policy, they may be machmir and mekilim, but those who follow the OU practices, so there are certain cheeses that are considered to be on the bad list in terms of having to potentially wait 6 hours after those cheeses. That list was put together by some of you from the Shiva Menorah, Rabbi Ron Gordimer. So Rabbi Gordimer was a Talmud Yeshiva for many, many years, and he works for the OU, and he's the OU specialist on cheeses. The world of specialization has reached a point where we have people who specialize in particular chemicals, particular foods, particular items. So he's the cheese man to go to. So he has put together that exhaustive list of all the different cheeses, which is not always the same in different countries. You can have the same kind of cheese in America and in Europe, and it's sold and made slightly different. And again, following those guidelines. One of the most common issues of the cheeses that we have today that are on the bad list the Parmesan cheeses. So everyone agrees that they should be on the list, but the OU puts them on the list, which usually throws into question the people who have their salads at Sammy's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday with some Parmesan cheese sprinkled on, and then they realize that they're milkshakes when it comes to the Shabbos soup in the wintertime. So that's a question. So why don't you try to remember that? Why don't you try to, if those were Malka for that cheetah. Not everyone agrees that Parmesan cheese is included in the chumrah altogether, but there are, according to the OU list, it is. There are further details in the post, but again, it's hard to give absolute answers in this area because this is not actually absolute din. It's a minhag Yisrael that developed because of this story. The question becomes, what if you have these hard cheeses, but they've already been melted in into the food? So there are different opinions. If they're melted totally in, you can't even discern them anymore. They're just sprinkled on top. Yeah, it's very hard to give absolute categories to this question. There are different opinions about this. So the bottom line is, if you have this tremendous desire to have your Parmesan cheese, so have it on have it for breakfast on Friday, or have it on Thursday afternoon, have milkshakes, have pizza that night. So except for the Parmesan, I'm not sure how many of the others are so prevalent in America. Okay, so let's get back to the what the ikrat din is. The ikrat din is going from meat to milk, so that for sure you have to do something. And we paskin against us. Tosfos says that all you have to do is just wash out your mouth. We paskin against that. We paskin that you have to have a real waiting period. Misud l'suda. How much is that waiting period? Again, 6 hours, 3 hours, 1 hour. Different opinions. Benching. Different opinions that we spoke about in the past. So there is an important question, that what is the din if a person is having meat, and now they finish having the meat, but they don't finish their meal, and the meal is shrubbing out for another couple of hours. That shouldn't be happening, but it happens here for a couple of minutes, and now they're benched. So there's a question to pose, at what point do you say misud l'suda? So there is some more machmir that misud l'suda means for the end of the meal, the benching. Even though you may have finished your meat an hour ago, but you're having dessert and schmoozing and everything else under the sun, long smirus, we would not have been the chavschus, and then according to some, you would have to wait the extra 6 hours from the time of benching. So many are making on that shaila, many are making another that chazal masach and suda suda means from the bosa part of the suda, not from the end of the suda part. I think those who want to be making and follow that view, so just keep an eye on as to when you cease to become flayshish. I think that would be sufficient. Sometimes you have a situation that arises that you don't even remember when you finish eating your meat. You saw orangutan and all the other things that go on at the meal, that one person in the table says that we finished the meat at 1:30, the other person says we finished at 2 o'clock, at 2:30. So what exactly is our take on this? So here there are a group of acharonim who are more makel in these kinds of shailas, and you have sfeikis as to just whether I'm still quote unquote fleshiks. So there are some acharonim who want to invoke the principle that's very important in other areas of kashrus, called asfek sveka. We know as a general rule that many areas of halacha are machmir svekas, but when we have a double svekas, we have two svekas that are combined together, so we have a right to be more makel. The Gemara Maseches Ksubos has this even like Abi Deraisis, but Deraisis, sveka Deraisis of Chumra, according to many, that's even a din in the Torah, and yet when you have a svek sveka, when you have a double doubt, two independent doubts as to why something should be permissible, so svek sveka is lahokal. Why is that? I mean, Sveikas are also in the Torah. Where did the Pasha Sveikas come from? So the Gemara is silent about this. The Gemara Ksubas Daf Tesh just says it. It's the Milsa Pshita. Sveikas works. And you would think when you learn the sugars of Sveikas, you would think there were like 1,000 Gemaras about Sveikas. There's one half line in the Sefer Ksubas Daf Tesh that uses the term Sveikas. The only other place where that term appears in Shas, it doesn't even mean that. It means something a little bit differently in Masechet Be'ezar. So the term Sveikas, the way we use it today, has its roots in Masechet Ksubas, and it's not at all clear where that idea even came from. So the Rashba has a Lamed Shavar, the famous Lamed Shavar, where the Rashba says that Sveikas is based on Rove. It's usually a rule in halacha. You can't figure out what else something is based on. We usually call it a rove. So what is what's the rove? Where's the rove? So the Rashba says it's a rove I call the blackboard rove. It's a rove of logical outcomes, logical possibilities. Maybe it's mutter for this reason, maybe it's also for this reason, it's also for this reason, maybe it's mutter for another reason. So if you would draw that out as a box, so three out of the four boxes would say the word mutter in them, and one of them would say the word asur in it. So the Rashba says, that's a rove, acharam mahatus. Three out of four logical outcome possibilities is also called a rove. So others question that rove. What does that do with rove? So we have no idea what the statistics are in any one of those boxes. It could be that the box that says osur is 95%, the box that says mutter is 2%. So how is that called a rove? So that's a chiddush gadol of the Rashba. That also qualifies as a rove. So whether you accept the Rashba, accept other biurim as to why sveik sveik is mutter. Lamaisa, the Gemara says sveik sveik is mutter. So some Achareinim want to suggest that when a person is not sure whether they're still fleishiks or not, they can continue to, they can eat milchiks. They can have their ice cream now. Why? It's a sveik sveik. Maybe the 6 hours have elapsed, and maybe the 6 hours haven't elapsed. But even if the 6 hours haven't elapsed, who says you have to wait that long? According to Tosis, you just have to bench. According to some Rishonim, you have to wash out your mouth. So there's always that suffix in the back of our mind. Maybe you don't have to wait altogether. So that's fake, fake. So maybe 6 hours, maybe no. If you're doing Tzolom, it's 6 hours haven't passed. Maybe I'm no longer fleshing for other reasons, because I already benched, I already washed my mouth, whatever the other reasons may are, may be. So some wanted to be a maker, some Achorim wanted to be maker on that, with that Tzolom. So there's a lot of lumdus about that kula. It's a very common chat that happens in my house. Almost every Shabbos, nobody remembers when we finished the meeting. So there's a very, very lumdus question that is raised about the Sveik Sveika. That this Sveik Sveika may bump into the following question called the Sveik Sveika Medavar Sheyesh L'Matirin. You're a Deya, Deya 101 here. Medavar Sheyesh L'Matirin means when I have an item that right now is Asur, but it's going to become Mutter. So the Gemara says, the beginning of Maseches Beitza, that's a red flag when it comes to Luchos Sveikas. So the Gemara gives us an example. Let's say I have a Beitza Shalolda B'Yontif. I have an egg that was laid on Yontif. So I'm not allowed to eat that egg on Yom Tov. That's the first mission, the first sugya, the first three blocks. It says beta. A beta shenolda b'Yom Tov is also. It's also for a variety of reasons. When something came into existence on Yom Tov, it wasn't around beforehand, so that becomes a potential problem of muktza, noyla, and chaladarabas, and a half dozen other questions. So believe it or not, we had a potential beta shenolda b'Yom Tov shayla in the shul. On Shavuos, it was a very, very, it wasn't the chicken giving birth, but it was water condensation in an air conditioning system that, according to some posts, maybe a shava beta shenolda b'yontif, assuming that the water, it's a very lumdish scientific slash halachic, it's a term of the question, whether you view the water inside the air conditioning, now when it empties out into the pan that's dripping into our shul, is that considered to be the halachic equivalent of an egg coming out of a chicken? That's the basic question. And we had the worst possible scenario because we had a Shabbos going into a Yom Tov, we had a Chol Rabba with us. It got too complicated. So whatever. Hopefully, I see the leak stops. So all's well that ends well. So when you have a Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov, that's a problem. But the Gemara says, at least according to one opinion in the Gemara, that Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov is really only prohibited mid Rabbanan. So Machlokes in the Gemara, but let's see, assuming that's only prohibited mid Rabbanan. So then the Gemara says, what's the din if you have a Suffolk Beitza Shenolda B'Yom Tov? You're not even sure whether the egg was even laid on Yom Tov or not. You came to the chicken coop and you can't tell when it was laid. Maybe it was laid from before Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, it's still also. Why is it also? It's the Dava She'eshel Matirin. It's something that's, although it's also today, but it's going to become Mutter tomorrow. So Rashi explains, why should you eat it today when you have a suffix, you're not really sure? Wait till tomorrow, wait a few hours, you'll have your scrambled egg tomorrow, what's the big deal? If you have a piece of suffix bishalachim, what are you going to wait for? The guy cooked it or didn't cook it, there's no way to know. So the pasha's suffix bishalachim is going to be mutter. But when you have a suffix, even though it's a suffix derabbanan, and we should have said suffix derabbanan l'kula, you can wait it out till tomorrow. So when you have to be so run to go rely on suffix derabbanan l'kula, you can wait it till tomorrow. That's what the Gemara seems to say at the beginning of Maseches Beitza. So there is a machlekes harishonim. What's the din in the following case? Let's say I have a sveik sveika. I have better than just a suffix. I have a mamash sveik sveika. But it's lemais, it's davar sheyesh l'matirin. So would we say that same chumrah? Would say that the same way the Gemara Beitza says that you have to wait it out, and you have to wait the extra couple of hours, wait the extra couple of days in order to be makel on the sveikis. So that applies to sveik sveikas also. Or maybe sveik sveikas are different. Maybe sveik sveikas are better. Maybe sveik sveikas are not even a suffix altogether. So alumdisha, you come with some alumdisha, razzle dazzle, why sveik sveikas are better than a suffix to Rabban Lakula. So that's a big machlokes in your day. In Simukuf Yud, that's a big machlokes about whether we have a right to be makel on a sveik sveika when you have a davar sheyesh l'matirin. So some acharonim raised a red flag about this sveik sveika in terms of fleshiks and milchiks. That here, I had my barbecue at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm not sure exactly what time I finished, and now it's about 7:30 or so, and I want to have my pizza, I want to have some ice cream now, and I'm looking at my watch, and I ask my kids, and I don't remember, maybe 5.5 hours, 6 hours, assuming that you need 6 full hours, I just can't remember. So some achron mamekel, shon sveik sveika, maybe 6 hours passed, even if they didn't pass, maybe it's still not there anyway, maybe just benching is good enough. So some achronim say, wait a second, hold the phone, put the brakes on, this ice cream is a davar sheyesh l'matirin. wait for wait a few hours, wait another hour, wait another half hour, wait a few minutes until it's about 6 hours. Why do you have to rely on Sveik Sveika when you don't have to? So right now, you don't have to eat the ice cream now. You can eat the ice cream later. So that's also called a Sveik Sveik of a Mokom Dov Shesh Lamatirin. And according to some Acharonim, that would be a problem. So then Yehuda has a whole shayla about that. Not about this case, but he has a whole shayla about Kholi Sveik Sveika, where he suggests it could be that that's not a correct equation for the following reason. Sveik Sveik of a Dov Shesh Lamatirin means, as I have this egg, and I have this item, and I'm either going to eat it now, or I'm going to eat it an hour from now. It's one item, with one latest asofik. There's one chefza that has one latest asofik on it, and I want to eat this egg. So I could choose to eat the egg today, or I could choose to eat the egg tomorrow. So that's what the halacha says. What do you have to eat it, relying on kulas and maislach and shvera varts, sveikis? Wait till tomorrow, it'll be koshul mahadrin and mahadrin, it'll be het gomor. Over here by the ice cream, that's not the case. It's not that I have this one bowl of ice cream left in the world. There's multiple ice cream. I want to eat ice cream now, and I'll have a second bowl an hour from now. I said, I want to eat another slice of pizza an hour from now. It's not a dumb shesh of matirim. If you want to put it into lomdash lingo, it's not a suffix in the chefza. It's a suffix in the gavra. I want to be able to do this now, and then I want to be able to do it tomorrow. I might be able to do it the next hour, the next hour, the next hour. So you can't tell me, no, don't eat the ice cream now because you can eat it later. Good, I'll eat the ice cream later, and I'll eat some ice cream now also. So your wives are probably not on that side of the equation. They say one bowl of ice cream is bad enough. But the Rebbe Yehuda's wife, she was nice to him. Said, you have one bowl until now, you have the bowl later. He said, that's okay. So that's a very, very lomdish question about whether the concept of Dov Shesh Matirin makes sense when I could do something multiple, multiple times. That's what the Rebbe Yehuda has a discussion about. Would you say Dov Shesh Matirin like a tiltul mukhtza? The Gemara has a legabi achilas dvarm shal mukhtza, like the il chil the egg. What about tiltul Dov Shesh Mukhtza? I have a Dov Shesh Mukhtza, and I have a suffix, whatever, I have different reasons that would permit me to move the mukhtza. So should I say that, well, wait till Shabbos is over, wait till Yom Kippur is over? Or should I say no? When it comes to tiltul, I don't have to wait. I want to move it now, and then I'll move it again later. So the only times Dov Shesh Mukhtza makes any sense is if it's a one-shot deal. So at the one time you can eat the food, wait for a few hours. But when it comes to moving items of mukhtza, potential mukhtza, when it comes to eating multiple bowls of ice cream, so then maybe Dov Shesh Mukhtza doesn't apply. So there are different opinions about this. Those who want to be making this, usually in our house we're pretty making this. When my kids could come up with a half-baked assessment that they think they're probably milkies at this point. So if it's close enough, so with Sira for the other coolers that we have, we're not even sure the whole 6 hours is 100%, that even if you hold like the Rambam, we're not even sure that Kishay shows, maybe according to someone Makel. So, but see, if everything, those who have a real bona fide suffix as to when they finish the meat, they don't have to machra for the benching chumra, those who yesh amil lismaych in terms of creating these potential sveik sveikas. Okay, so we pretty much concluded for our purposes the. One last nakuda. In terms of what kinds of meats one would have to wait for. So we've been talking about meat and chicken, and we're assuming that even though the Gemara says the otherwise, the Rambam says it's not true, and we pass the Shulchan Aruch, it's not true. The meat and chicken are all the same. There is a machlekes that we've shown him about a tafshel shabosa. We were talking a little bit about that last night in a different context. If you have, let's say, like a chicken soup or something, you know, the mamash piece of chicken, but you have something that was cooked together, and now it has all the taste of meat. So there are some Rishonim who say, you don't have to wait for that. That the reasons that were given for waiting don't really apply to that. And others say, you do have to wait for that. That's the way we pass it. That's what that minig is, that even for tafshel shabosa, one is required to wait. The only thing is, there are more rights. And when we say tafshel shabosa, that's about some amoshes, not literally pieces of meat in it, but it has to be something that's a real tafshel shabosa, not just something that was cooked in a fleshy pot. So if you cook potatoes in a fleshy pot, then you're not required to wait for that. So that always becomes a little bit tricky. At what point do you say that something is already a tafshel shabosa? At what point do you say it was just in a pot? So the Shach writes that if something was, part of food was cooked in a fleshy pot, even if the pot was dirty a little bit, that's probably also okay. And then it becomes a little bit question of how dirty is dirty. At what point do you say that there's so much dirt in there that it's like chicken soup already? So this is the big question about the French fries and the onion ring, all these things that you go to a fleshic fast food place and you ask them for French fries. And I want to have French fries now, and I want to go have ice cream an hour later. So the question is, are those French fries mamish fleshic? So I'm seeing by people who have worked in fast food joints in the past, so I've been mashgiach in them. So can you tell us just a little bit about the oil content?
It's not much flavor, unless they have a specific separate one.
So it's very hard. I mean, there are places that won't take responsibility for saying that there's no real mamash. I mean, this chicken gravy juice, kind of piece of chicken that is stuck in there. So not everyone agrees to this, but there are those who, and Avram Zev called me the other day from Yeshiva, and he told me they bought French fries by mistake. They're supposed to have pizza for a siyum, and how can a China try to figure out how clean? I can't tell you about the cleanliness of the French fries in Main Street in Queens. I can barely tell you about the ones under Arash Gacha. I don't know. I'm a little bit weird. Something was mamish made in the same group, the same Greece, and then there are machmirim. But again, there are some folks who are makel based in the shach. Okay. Anyway, so let's go back now to our new topic. So our general topic has been, of course, bas b'cholov, and focusing primarily on the dinim d'rabbanan and the gezeiros that have been instituted for bas b'cholov. There's another gezeirah that appears. It's actually a very, very old gezeirah. It appears in the Mishnah itself about basar v'gvina al shulchan echad. You have meat and milk on the same table. So that is prohibited. That's an issur d'rabbanan. You're not allowed to eat meat when there's milk sitting on the same table. Either if somebody else is eating the milk, say, I'm having my hot dog and he's having a slice of pizza, that's a problem. Or even if I'm by myself and there just happens to be a slice of pizza on the table, that would be a problem as well. Because they were the Rabbanan was, that we're afraid that that's going to somehow lead Lidea Bos B'chol. How exactly that's going to happen is also up for grabs a little bit. But somehow we're afraid that some shape or form that's going to lead Lidea Bos B'chol. You remember a few weeks ago we mentioned that the Gemara says that the Chazal never would have made this gezeira if there wouldn't have been a potential deraisa that could have happened. It would have just been derabanan. If one could never have depicted in their wildest dreams a deraisa, then we probably would have let us go. Never made this gezeira. So what could possibly be the deraisa? So the Gemara says you have two guys eating out of kli rishons. If I'm eating out of klisheini, so it's not derech bishul anyway. So the Gemara says it could be sometimes you have one guy's eating literally out of the he takes the takes the crock pot, puts it down on the table, and is eating out of the crock pot. And the other guy's eating his macaroni and cheese right out of the pot. So then, in theory, you could have a potential shalav osa b'chol deraisa. If you remember, we mentioned that there were some who seem to say that the only time you could have osa b'chol deraisa is when the flame is still on. So you have to touch up a little bit. One guy's eating out of a crock pot with the crock pot on. You see the mamish leaning over the crock pot. Yeah, so Machman Shabbos, he doesn't want to take the pot out, so he eats out of the pot itself. And the other guy's eating his...
That's worse than that.
Probably. And the other guy's eating his macaroni and cheese on the stove. So yeah, and they're sitting at the same table. So we gave them mush like in the fancy restaurants. They bring you the food with the sternos, and your mama's sitting and eating food a la Aish. So whatever the case is, there's some kind of deraisa. In your wildest, the creative imagination, there's some kind of a deraisa. And therefore, Chazal instituted a gezeira b'derabanan. So it's interesting. Every time Chazal speak about this, they always speak about gvina. That's always the phrase that they use, gvina. They never speak about the milk. So why not? So either the simple reading is because people didn't sit around and drink milk. That wasn't like a drink in the baby's nursed milk, but that was it. For people, people ate cheese, they didn't drink milk. So the Rashash has a suggestion that maybe the reason why the Gemara spoke about cheese and not milk was because milk is going to have to be in a container, it's going to have to be a cup and a bottle and something. He said, cheese is something you eat with your hands. So he said that when it comes to, I'm eating fleishigs and there's cheese on the table, so then there's a real fear that when you get meat and milk together, my filthy, greasy barbecue hands are going to touch the slice of pizza, so I'm going to be eating together, bas v'cholov, mashenkin, I'm going to take a cup of milk, so what's the concern? That I'm going to pour the milk onto my meat, like, why would I do that? So the Rashash says, mechinish, that as long as the meat or the milk is in some kind of a container, and it's not something that you eat with your hands, maybe it doesn't apply. So that's a big chinish, whether that's even true. I think most of the poskim didn't accept that diuk. But whatever it is, the Rabbanan, they for sure made this gezeir of Allah. And the Gemara quotes the Machlokes of Tanoim when they made the gezeira by Basar Of as well. And the one says, yeah, they made Basar Of also. I, Basar Of, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, Paschal, Zohar, Midr, Rabbanan, yeah, it's a gezeira with a gezeira. I would never make gezeira with a gezeira. Kulachar gezeira, it's all the same gezeira. It's all Midr, Rabbanan. They were very, very machmir here. And again, as the Rambam said, that Bas B'chol, they threw the books at you because of that concern that Bas B'chol was so misleading in the Tarshish Chesav. So the bottom one is Midr, Rabbanan. One is not permitted to eat to eat in this manner of basu gvina shulchan echad. Again, either being two people are eating together, or there's basu gvina on the table, and I'm eating the opposite food.
It's not a little crazy, but in terms of like when cooking before God, one is cooking there and meat, so one has to be mindful of putting down on the kitchen island together?
No, the Gemara of the Pharisee, it only applies to the Shulchan She'ochel Alav. It doesn't apply to count the space. On Erev Shavuos is the time that one has to be most machmir about these questions, most cognizant about these questions. 9 out of 10 Shabbos that come in Erev Shavuos are most machmir. No one's calling me about Shabbos about the flowers and shul or something. They're not too much in Erev Shavuos. But many people are calling about mix-ups that happen in the kitchen, because when you have places milk is flying around, that's usually a recipe for disaster. I've said this before, that's the remez in the Torah. The Torah says, bas b'cholav, in the context of Bikurim twice. Reishis b'kurad b'chol, svachli b'cholavim. So the Mepharshim try very hard to figure out what in the world's the connection between the two. So that's the derech drush. The answer is, reishis b'kurad b'chol, it's Erev Shavuos, you're about to get ready to bring your Bikurim, you have your Bikurim. Well, svachli b'cholavim, make sure you're cooking cheese blintzes and meat at the same time. Make sure not to goof up, because that's when most of the shadows happen. They have their own innovation. Okay, anyway, back to our story. So the Gemara of the Pharisee, this is prohibited mid the Rabbanon. There is always a question, whenever you have a gezerah mid the Rabbanon, so you have to always ask the question, is this gezerah made as a low plug or not? So some gezerahs were made as a low plug, even though the reasons don't really apply. It doesn't matter, the gezerah was made across the board. And every once in a while, Chazal made exceptions to the rule and didn't make low plugs. And they only made the gzeir if and when the reason applies. So how do you know the answer to that question? You have to read the Gemara and try to figure out and see from Chazal any indication whether any given gzeirah was a b'taras lo plug or not. So this particular gzeirah actually seems pretty clearly was not a lo plug. That although Chazal was very, very machmer on this issur, but at the end of the day, they didn't formulate b'taras lo plug. How do we know that? So the Gemara has a sugi in the 8th parak of Chulin about shnech senoin, about two people who are guests at a motel together, and they're sitting and eating there. One's eating his flesh, one's eating his milk. They don't even know each other. They never met each other. So the Gemara says, what are you afraid of? The guy's going to stick his hands into the other guy's pizza. The guy's going to stick his hands into the other guy's hot dog and take his hot dog. If you have two friends, two relatives who are sitting down and eating together, so then this fear is around. Well, let's say if I'm the balabas, I have my own cheesecake sitting on the table, I'm having my hot dog, so then you're always afraid I'm going to mix one to another. But if you have two guys, I'm eating my sandwich, you're eating your sandwich, and we're going to do each other, we don't know each other, the odds that there's going to be any mix-up are highly unlikely. So therefore, Chazal will make it when you have shnech senoim. So the post can point out, you see from this Gemara, that it was not a lo-flu, that the Chazal never asked it across the board. They only asked it if and when they were mishayer, they assessed that the reason applies. So this was the source of Rabbi Shech, this Kula, that was discharged to me at a later point. So I remember when Tov, my oldest daughter, was born, so every once in a while we had formula or something. It was sitting on the table. So I would always, we lived in the Heights, and the table wasn't so big. So I would always be machmir that if I was sitting down eating meat or something, I would take all the cans of formula, all the bottle, everything would take off the table. It shouldn't be a bas of gvina al shulchan echad. All the formulas are all milchiks. So somebody told me afterwards that Rabbi Shechter was makel that you can have mamash have a baby bottle with formula, I'm sure, real milchiks, sitting on the table as you're eating your flesh, as you're eating your children. Why is that? So Rabbi Shechter said that based on this Gemara, since the Gemara says explicitly shnech sanoin is mutar, so you see the Chazal didn't make it as a low plug, so they only made it when there's a realistic fear that you could actually take the other food. So when was the last time you were eating your children and you decided to take a sip out of your baby's baby bottle? When was the last time you decided to make yourself a cup of formula? Especially not today's days, the formula shortage. Yeah, you got a whole lot to like toss up between formula and gas, which is more expensive these days. So you're unlikely you're going to mix and match your formula with your hot dog. So therefore, he felt that it was the halachic equivalent of the schnachs annoying. So after I heard that, so I changed my practice. But back to the story. So Chazal did, although they were pretty machmir with this, they did build a couple of coolers into this mix. And one of the important clues that they instituted, probably the most relevant for us, is that they instituted what's called the Derech Heker. If a person, it's interesting, even though this sugya itself, Derech Heker, doesn't even appear explicitly in the Gemara. It's a machlokes rishon what the Gemara meant, and Shulchan Aruch, we've adopted the lenient version, that there is a kula if it's called a Derech Heker. If there's some kind of a recognizable sign there, that's going to prevent you from eating the two together. Again, this is also in sync with the idea that it's not a low plug. It would be a low plug, so then probably the cam wouldn't work. So what exactly constitutes a heke? What would be a good heke for this? So the post can discuss the following. They discuss, let's say I have something on the table that doesn't really belong there. So I put down something, some ashuritika item on the table that's not usually there. If I put down something and I'm using it in the middle of the meal, so I usually don't drink soda, so I put down a bottle of soda. I'm drinking from the soda, so that's not going to be a heke. But if I put something, I put down a bottle of mouthwash, I put down something that's out of the ordinary there, so that's going to remind me I'm not going to eat the bas b'chalav. So again, if you live in a normal setting in your house, that's usually pretty easy to do. I've told the story in the past that myself and my esteemed colleague, Rabbi Rapp Shlita, when the years that we roomed together in the mosque on the second floor, some of you may have fond or unfond memories of those days. So we always had the following dilemma, that we could never find anything to put on the table. We had one table in the middle of the room, and half the time we'd be eating different foods. So we could never find anything that was appropriate to put on the table that would remote serve as a hecker, because everything was on the table. The mouthwash was on the table, the deodorant was on the table. So everything that we owned was on the table. So Rabbi Rapp came up with a great idea. He said, why don't we clean off the table? He said, that would be an unbelievable hecker. He said, yeah. I walk into my room, he said, it's spotless. It's set like a Shabbos table. He said, wow, oh, must be, because I'm having relations, having milkshakes. So I don't know whether we actually implemented that, but it was an interesting, it was definitely a Rabbi Rapp kind of an afichu idea. So what are other things that could potentially be permissible? So the post can say, let's say we're not literally eating at the same table. What does that mean, not the same table? Let's say we're eating at different tablecloths. So if I put down, I'm having my hot dog and you're having your pizza, but I'm sitting on you set a tablecloth, so that would presumably also serve as some degree of a hecker. So let's say it doesn't have to be a mamashah's official tablecloth. You put down a placemat. So some of that would do the same trick as well. Now I get a little bit cheaper than that. You put down a napkin, put down a piece of paper towel, put down something. So as long as there's some kind of a hecker that it's clear that I'm eating separate from you, so we generally assume that that would be okay. There is a discussion in the Poskim where these halachas in Chelek Aleph in Yerodea show up. So these similar halachas appear in Chelek Beis Yerodea as well. Last time we spoke about the Basar Odeir Ben Shenei, the connection between Chelek Ab, Chelek Beis, it was Basar Mechom and Chosnida. So here also the same idea appears. The same, almost the identical kind of sugyas about Hekir appear in a different context. The Mishnah says, in Masechet Shabbos, of all places, a strange place where it appears in Shabbos, one of the Yichas Dovers, but it appears in the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, about that a person is not supposed to eat together with their wife when the wife is in Nida. That was instituted by Chazal as one of the Hachokas. We spoke about this many times in the past. That there are certain hachokas that are according to many in the Torah, there are many hachokas that are in the Rabbanon, there are certain hachokas that we have in Torah's Vineyard. So at Shulchan Aruch, and there's one long siman all about all the siman kutariyeh in your day, all about all the hachokas. So let's say physical contact, literally derechiba, according to the Rambam, that's a hachokas deraisa. Other kinds of hachokas are only in the Rabbanon. So one of the famous hachokas deRabbanon appears in the Mishnah and the Shabbos about eating together, le'yechol zav mazav, le'yechol adamim mazav, whatever the nuskh of the Mishnah is. That a person is not supposed to eat together with his wife when she is a nida. So what's considered to be eating together? Eating together. So that was a big machlokes in Rishonim. So the Rambam's opinion was eating together means that I'm sharing a bowl. He's just sitting around and munching on a bowl of popcorn. He's taking popcorn, she's taking popcorn, eating back and forth. That's called the eichel biyachad. Sitting at the same table, the Rambam says, that's not called the eichel biyachad. That's two people sitting at the same table. And the Rabbi disagrees, and Shulchan Aruch machmir for this. We assume that even if they're not literally eating from the same bowl, if they're eating at the same table, that would be a problem. The Rosh has a kula. The Rosh says that maybe that only applies if you're having a very, very small table. You're eating together, like a little tray. So then we're afraid that's going to be like a kirv adas. If you're sitting at a long dining room table, I'm going to be my wife's 20 feet away. Can barely see her, barely hear her. So then maybe that wouldn't be included in the gzeir either. So we try also not to avoid that kula also. So we follow Shulchan Aruch just right straight that the husband and wife are not supposed to be eating together at the table when the woman is in nida. So how do you do that? So half the time, how do we do that? So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rishonim that if there's a heker, so that would be permissible. So you have, let's say, eating on two separate placemats, or one sitting on a paper towel or something, or you put, probably not a good idea to put a deodorant or something on the table, you might find one, appreciate that, but if you have some kind of a hecker or something, so that would be okay. So the hecker doesn't have to be so blatant, it has to be something that you could see, a little bit of some kind of a hecker in order to be put. And that's what we practice. So we practice this idea of a hecker, both in Hilchos Nida and in Hilchos Bas B'cholov. Again, it's not explicitly clear in the Gemara in either place, but some of the Rishonim have it Bas B'cholov, and the Rishonim extrapolated to Hilchos Nida, and the Maaseh both in Shulchan Aruch Chelek Aleph and Bas B'cholov and Chelek Beis Hilchos Nida, these Hekeirim are accepted, and that's what our practice is today. There is a question that the Poskim raise about do these halachas apply when you have other people around? These halachas only when the two people are themselves there. What if you have other people running around? So here there's probably a split between Bas B'cholov and Hilchos Nida. So in Hilchos Nida, the many Acharonim are Megil, that the only time these Achokas apply are only when the husband and wife are eating by themselves. If you have other people sitting around the table, those other people could be family members, or could be your own kids, assuming the kids are old enough to understand what's going on. 1 month-old baby is not going to do the trick. But if you have all the children around, so then according to some Acharonim, these dinim don't apply, at least in the realm of Chasnida. So some wanted to say, oh, they don't apply to Chasnida, they don't apply to Basmachol. They're all the same. So many Acharonim write, that's a mistake. It's a big mistake. That the idea why it's mutter in Chasnida is not really because the other people are heker. The reason why it's mutter chasnida is because the whole concern is that mishum kir vadas, the couple's going to get a little bit, having a cozy romantic meal together that may lead to the avera. So if the, you know, your kids are sitting around screaming and asking you to help for the homework, that's not going to lead to any terrible things. So that serves as heck. You have guests at the Shabbos table, that's going to, by definition, interfere with any concerns of averas. So that svara makes sense when it comes to chasnida. When it comes to Basul Cholov, the fact that there's somebody else eating at the table, how's that going to remind me not to take a slice of your pizza? I'm not going to have to. You're having your pizza, and there's somebody else sitting at the table. So what's going to happen? I'm going to forget, he's going to forget, he's going to forget. So that doesn't really solve the problem. So I think it makes a lot of sense, this distinction. So when it comes to chasnida, we're very, very makel, and we let, as long as there are other people around, many poskim are makel. Some of them will make it for chasnid and other reasons also, that we're not even sure the yisuf of chasnid really applies to Zman HaZeh. Because according to the Rambam, it only applies when eating out of the same bowl. According to the Rosh, it only applies when eating at a very, very small table. So it could be the whole yisuf of Zman HaZeh is very, very shaky. So as long as you, another time, fake, fake. It's not a Rosh Hashanah material. You don't have to wait for another week. You're allowed to eat now. So when it comes to chasnid, I think one has a right to be makel. There are other people sitting around the table as long as they're old enough to know what's going on. So that would serve as enough of a deterrent. Whereas it comes to basul cholov, so probably that idea of having other people around probably doesn't do all that much. But the other came do work. So if you have either the mouthwash on the table, or you have your different tablecloth, or you have your different napkin, or something like that, that would probably suffice for the purposes of a basul cholov. Okay, we'll stop here.
Since the next few weeks.
Yeah, just the time of the year. Yeah. We'll tentatively have next week. I don't know how much you get for that.